Hello and welcome to the 49th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. I hope everybody out there is doing all right. I'm actually having kind of a rough day. I'm sure by the time this goes out, everybody will have heard that Harold Ramis, the director, writer, and actor of a ton of amazing 80s and 70s comedies and beyond, passed away at the age of 69 on Monday. I was doing work, my usual morning stuff, and then I'd moved into a feature I had to finish up. And I was looking on Twitter, and it started popping up, so I found an article, and it really bummed me out, because for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, like pretty much anybody my age who is a fan of comedy in general, Harold Ramis was a huge inspiration. I mean, I do not consider myself a comedian in any way. I've been paid to be funny a couple of times, and that's fantastic. But his movies helped shape what I think of as funny. Animal House, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters. I mean, Ghostbusters alone is like a sixth of my childhood. I mean, I love the movies, I love the cartoon, I love the toys. The whole thing was just amazing. And I know he didn't have so much to do with the latter things, but it was still amazing that he helped create something that spawned such a huge part of my childhood. Related to that, you know, my dad was a big comedy fan and turned me on to a lot of these movies, so I saw a lot of things from the guys that did, you know, Saturday Night Live and SCTV. I didn't know about SCTV as a show, but a lot of those guys that came out and did comedies in the States, you know, wound up being a big deal, and I saw a lot of those movies. So he introduced me to a lot of those movies, and a big deal of my growing up was related to Saturday Night Live and seeing if I could stay up late enough to watch it, and then eventually watching some of those movies and then moving on to some of the stand-up routines, and all this stuff was a very big part of kind of our interaction together and my growing up and my absorption of comedy and films and all this stuff. So it's been a little tough. I also actually had the great pleasure of interviewing Harold Ramis on the phone back in 2009 when I was still working at Toy Fair. I wrote about it on my blog, United Monkey, and I will actually have a link to the interview that I posted after the magazine went under, because I figured it should be out there. And it was so fun and just so thrilling to talk to him, and he was such a super nice guy. But basically the story was that Mattel was going to start doing these exclusive Ghostbusters action figures based on the actual likenesses of the actors from the movies, and they were going to sell them exclusively on their website, MattyCollector.com. We found out about this in advance because, you know, that's kind of what we did, and we had a really strong relationship with Mattel. And I can't remember if we had the exclusive announcement, but they were definitely on our cover. We actually spun an entire issue out around that because it was the 25th anniversary of all these amazing movies like Ghostbusters and all these different toys and all this stuff. And so it just made sense to kind of build an issue around it. And while I was talking to Mattel, it came up where they were like, well, would you be interested in talking to Harold Ramis? And I was like, yes. Yes, of course. I think we were also trying to go after Dan Aykroyd, but he wasn't available, or didn't want to do it or whatever. Nothing really went anywhere with that, but they did pass me like the contact info for Harold Ramis's people. He was just finishing up that movie Year One. I think, you know, between when I did the interview and when the issue went out, I think the movie actually came out in that span. So he was just finishing it up. And I mean, I don't remember the exact experience very well because my memory is kind of bad, but you know, I just remember sitting there on the phone and thinking, like, I'm talking to the guy that helped shape who I am to a pretty large extent. I mean, those movies were all very important to me. They were ones that I watched over and over again, either on TV or with my dad. And then I would rent them later and watch the, you know, unedited versions and just be shocked at what was in them, you know, because there was so much extra stuff. So yeah, he was very, very nice and just a great interview. He really down to earth guy. So all these things are kind of combining to make this day a little tough, which is too bad because before that, we actually had a pretty good weekend. But before moving on into kind of more positive stuff, I do want to give, you know, Harold Ramis the pop of the week for whatever it's worth. I mean, I know he was a father and he was a husband when he passed away way too early. And unfortunately, you know, I know this is, it's hard for a lot of people who took things from his movies, but it's harder on, you know, his family who actually knew him. So, you know, I hope they're doing all right. And I know this is going to be a tough time for them, but hopefully they know that their dad helped entertain and lift the spirits of a lot of people out there in the world. And hopefully that makes them feel just a tiny bit better. So Harold Ramis gets the pop of the forever, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, moving into a little bit more kind of upbeat, positive things. After an incredibly long work week last week, we actually had a really productive weekend. The week was busy because I was finishing up my Toy Fair post, as I mentioned in last week's episode, and then I got a series of assignments, and I wasn't actually sure when I first got them how many there were, so I had to play a little bit of catch-up, but everything's fine, and I've got half of them turned in and questions ready for the other half, and some are out, and so I'm all caught up, and I'm kind of more on a regular schedule this week, which is great, but over the weekend, we were super productive in starting to get the house ready for little baby, as we keep calling him. On Saturday, I actually got to sleep in until Em and Lucy left for music class. So I got up about 10. I think they were just leaving. And I thought about kind of hanging out, maybe watching a movie, but there was a lot to be done around the house. And so I got to cleaning. I get into my own shark mode when I'm cleaning. I've mentioned shark mode with Lucy. That's where she just keeps moving around so she doesn't fall asleep. But for me, for my shark mode, that means that I'm just constantly moving and picking things up. So I'll kind of like get in one area and I'll grab a bunch of things and then I'll go around the house and put them away where they need to go. And then I'll see if there's things in that room that need putting away. And then I just keep doing it little by little. And for me, it kind of makes everything go a lot faster because it just works out better. If I sit in a place and I make piles, I don't know, I lose a lot of my momentum, literally. So I try to stay moving as much as possible. So I cleaned up in the living room a good deal. It actually wasn't too bad, surprisingly. And then I got my closet cleaned up. My closet is just kind of a receptacle for spare things or things we don't want Lucy to get at. Plus my own stuff. I mean, I've got two long boxes of trades in there that I haven't read, and those are my two read boxes, and I've just got a ton of miscellany. My guitars are in there, well, two of the four that I have in the house, and so there's just a lot of stuff in there, and it can get overcrowded very easily. So, you know, I put my shirts on hangers, and I kind of move things around, and hopefully got things a little bit more organized there. And then the main project for the weekend was Lucy's room. We decided, after my wife kind of went in there and looked around and brainstormed a little bit, to move a few pieces around and then also get a bookshelf, because she made these awesome fabric shelves, which are basically like big scrolls. So you get like two dowel rods and then you get fabric and you sew like a loop in the fabric so you can slide the dowel rod in on both sides. And then you just simply get a curtain hanger wall mount thing. I'm not quite sure what those are called. That has two holes, and so that sticks out from the wall. You get two of them, obviously. Those stick out from the wall with the two holes, and then you can slide the dowel rods in, and then you secure them, and you've got some hanging shelves that are pretty rad. Well, the problem with them, at least as far as we're concerned, is that for one, Lucy just had way too many books, and two, she couldn't actually reach the higher one and wasn't actually going through to see what kind of book she had. And then the other problem, since that wasn't working out so well, I think it's like better for like an older kid, which we'll put back up in her room when we do move, and hopefully she'll really get a kick out of them and enjoy it, because it is cool to have stuff in your room, you know, that your parents made. And then all the other books just went on top of this like toy shelf thing that we got at IKEA forever ago. And so it just was not working out because there were just massive piles and we were all just kind of like throwing things in corners. And I, you know, I'm probably the biggest culprit because, you know, if something's just sitting around, I would toss it in there and move on and keep cleaning. So that is the negative part of my cleaning style sometimes, is that I can get very tossy. without really getting in there and putting things where they specifically need to go. But for the most part, it works out. So I got in there, I picked all the books up, and I put them in laundry baskets so that we could move them around wherever we wanted to go. The bed stayed where it was, and the changing table stayed where it was. And then we moved our armoire from where it was to next to the changing table. We had a chair in the corner over there that we'd had, I think, since we moved in. But that came from Em's parents. I think I talked about this last week. That came from her parents' house, and so we actually sent it back with them. We're like, hey, you know, if you want to sell this or whatever, because they sell antiques and stuff, I was like, feel free. We appreciate you letting us use it for as long as we did, but, you know, we don't necessarily need this back, but, you know, so do whatever you want with it. So they took it. They've got that. That made some space, so I was able to kind of clean up there, get everything moved, or at least modular. I got a lot of things in baskets, and then they came back from music class, and I moved the armoire to where we wanted it, and it looks great. And then we went to Target, and we bought a shelf. It's actually a lot like the square shelves that we have from IKEA, where it's just like boxes stacked on top of each other. But for this one, it's 3x3, or is it 4x4? I think it's 3x3, and it just worked really well. The boxes aren't tall enough to fit every single book up and down, but that's okay. You can just flip it over. And M organized them by color on the spine, which I gotta admit drives me a little crazy because I'm more of an alphabet person, or if that's not gonna work out, size. I used to organize my books by size. So now instead of just like being able to easily figure out where a book is, you've got to think of the color of the spine, which, again, not a fan of. But the beauty of this is that between all that and then M organizing Lucy's stuffed animals a lot better and putting them in these nets that are kind of hanging from the two walls in one of the corners, like, it looks way bigger in there. It was getting so cluttered. And we still have some, like, clothes we need to put away and other things we need to organize. But for the most part, it looks fantastic in there. And we do have, you know, some shelves and some drawers and things that we can kind of expand on. And Lucy seems to really love it. So I'm glad we, you know, really stuck to it and got that done this weekend. The other little thing that we did was put up this, like, shoe rack thing. I mean, I'm sure this happens for everybody, but our shoes would just wind up in a pile. It's not hard to clean that up, but it's just taking the time to do it. And so hopefully this thing will keep us a little bit more organized. But I don't know. And part of all the cleanup and getting ready for little baby included me going over to the storage unit. That happened on Sunday. Our storage unit is crazy. You've probably seen it in a few photo diaries, and I took some pictures when I was there last time, and we'll post them once I get to that day. We basically have the entire left side stacked floor to pretty much the top of the unit with things. Two of them are all Christmas, like ornaments and decorations and houses and all the accoutrements, and actually that's what I took back with me because the Tupperware tubs had just been sitting in our living room since we cleaned up in January or whatever, which bummed me out. We also unfortunately had to get rid of this box that I think Lucy's car seat came in like two Christmases back when we were here. My parents got it for her, and then my dad like took the box and flipped it over and cut a door for her, and it said like Lucy's Clubhouse, and it was awesome, but she actually outgrew it. She couldn't even really fit inside, and pretty much the only one using it was the cat, and we needed the space, so poor guy doesn't have a hiding spot anymore. Well, aside from all the other hiding spots he has. But, you know, we had to do that. And she was a little bummed out. We were like, we're going to get you a new house once we move into a bigger house. And she was like, Daddy, want a new house? Like, as I was going to the trash. I'm like, I can't get it now. And we can't fit it in here now. But when we do, you can have a new house, I promise. It's something we've talked about and even thought about buying before, but there's just no place to put it right now. Especially for when little baby comes, we've got a swing. Lucy barely used the swing. I kind of hope he does, because otherwise I've just been saving this thing for no reason whatsoever. And then a few other, you know, he's got different size toys that he's going to want to play with. And, you know, not all of Lucy's toys are appropriate for him, so there'll be some more figuring out. But I had to go to the storage unit. I organized it. I threw out a bunch of stuff, like mostly my stuff, because I've got stuff going back to when I worked at Wizard. I've got several tubs and boxes filled with my personal action figure collection, which is gigantic and unruly, but I can't really get at it too much to really like get in there and see what I want to keep and what I want to get rid of until we have more space. So this was a lot of reorganizing, tossing out some of my junk, and moving things around, and also grabbing a couple bins that have baby clothes and stuff for M. As we get closer and closer to the actual due date, we're like 3 months away, which is crazy. But I'm excited, you know, I kind of want to meet the little guy. This pregnancy is definitely so much different than the first one. You know, we didn't even get started in prep really until now, which tells you something. But I mean, we're both so focused on Lucy, and there's just so many other things going on. Plus, it's less new, the actual pregnancy part, but, you know, obviously we're keeping an eye on everything. And we went to the midwives last week, and they said everything was going really well. He's in a great position, and he's growing really well in size, like proportionate to himself. So, I mean, we're doing well, and we're preparing, and I think we're in a pretty good spot. I mean, we would both love to be in another house, you know, as the little dude starts growing up, and hopefully we will. But, I mean, I think we could probably go another year here if we had to. Although, you know, they say that boys grow faster than girls, so I don't know. I mean, it's all a big question mark. You don't really know what the kid's going to be like until they're in your house, so, and hanging out. And, honestly, I can't even remember what, like, one was for Lucy. I don't remember, like, what that was like or how it was different or any of that stuff. But, you know, it's exciting. It's also scary. I mean, I have to admit, when I was so busy last week, I had, like, one day where I just sat here and I thought, how am I going to do this with another kid? Like, I was able to schedule an interview when I thought she'd be asleep, and luckily she went to sleep, but it's like, what are the odds that two children are going to nap at the exact same time? I mean, Lucy just falls asleep whenever she wants, and I know babies just kind of go to sleep whenever and often, which is great, and I hope that is the case with little dude, but you know, you can't really count on anything. It's just going to take some time, me getting used to their schedules and figuring out how they interact together. I mean, there's just so many question marks. But those were the moments when I was getting, like, kind of freaked out and just like, oh my gosh, I don't, you know, even though I've done this once, that doesn't really mean anything because the second kid is going to be a completely different person and do things completely differently, possibly. I mean, you don't even know. So I try to kind of push that back down as much as possible, but, you know, it's one of those things that kind of nags at the back of my head no matter the day. But it definitely crops out more when I'm feeling stressed with work and all that kind of stuff. Because it's like, if I'm already stressed and I've got a pretty good handle on everything like I do right now, what is that going to mean when I've got Lucy to take care of like I have been, plus a little dude, you know, that's going to need bottles and more diapers and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think it'll be fine. They were really understanding when Lucy was born, and I don't remember how long I took off from work. It was probably a week or so. But then M will be home for, I think, several weeks. I think it's 12 now or something like that, which will really hopefully get, you know, kind of me used to some of the routines. I mean, the routines, as I've said in past episodes, wind up being routines for very small amounts of time. But if you can, like, clock in on them when they are happening, that can be great. And, you know, the other positive thing that I can look forward to that I have to keep reminding myself of is that Lucy will actually be able to help to some extent with him. I mean, she's obviously not going to be able to carry him around too much or anything, but that's another set of eyes in the house that will be on him. And I think she will like being around another kid a lot. And she seems excited about having a brother. So hopefully that keeps going. I don't know how excited she'll be when she's got to start sharing like her toys and stuff, or some of her toys will have to go away when he's born because they've got smaller pieces or whatever. But you know, you just kind of figure all these things out as they come and try to go in with something of a plan, see how the plan stacks up against reality, and then move on from there. And so I think, you know, we're getting pretty well set up. He's going to sleep in our room. We've got this little cradle thing. So when he wakes up in the middle of the night, Em can just feed him real quick, and then he can go back to bed. One of the big problems that I do foresee, though, is what's going to happen with Lucy for bedtimes, because for the, you know, whatever Sunday in a row, I tried putting her down. And as soon as I was like, okay, it's time for bed, after reading to her for like an hour, she flipped out and started screaming at me. I mean, she hollers at me throughout the day pretty loud, but this is like next level. Like, I want to see my mommy. It's like, I'm not trying to keep you from your mom, but she's trying to watch her show. And, you know, she just wants like one show that she can watch every week and just hang out with it for a little bit. And that's totally fine and normal and awesome. But, you know, you can't really explain that to a kid who's two. So she was freaking out. We're kind of in the terrible twos that seem like they're going to pretty seamlessly transfer into the terrible threes, because she's just super demanding, wants everything right now, and wants to change her clothes and shoes like so many times. I can't tell you how many times she changed shoes and dresses over this weekend. I'm thinking in the teens for dresses and probably in the high 20s or 30s for shoes, because she saw a whole bunch of stuff she hadn't seen that she didn't know about or had forgotten about, and was just all over it trying to put them on now. And it's like, oh, kiddo, just please wait a couple minutes. And if she could do it herself, that's fine. I don't care. But like having to stop when you're in the middle of editing something or cleaning a room or doing any of these things to deal with a dress or a shoe is kind of a bummer and not very fun to work with. So that kind of stunk. Hopefully she's on her way out of that. Maybe the new baby will help, or maybe the new baby will make that worse because she's not going to have, you know, 100% of our attention. But again, you don't know. She was pretty good today. We actually went to the grocery store. It's the first time her and I have gone in a couple weeks, because, you know, we were in Disney World. And then last week I went on a Sunday because we were out of food. And then she and I went, and she was actually really good. And she wanted to get up and run around. And I was like, all right, if you stay in the cart, you can get another golden book. And my wife doesn't like that I keep getting her these sometimes, but it's like, come on, it's a book. She likes reading. And this one was about all the different Disney princesses. And it was kind of funny because she was looking at the cover and she was like, oh, Sleeping Beauty, I met her. Tiana, I met her too. And like all five on the cover are princesses that she met at Disney World this last time we were there. So that's kind of cool. I actually kind of wish we'd had it when we went and they could have signed it. Like, Anna and Elsa signed her Frozen book that we got. So that was cool. And, you know, just speaking of books, she's gotten really excited about them again, which is cool. We're probably going to go to the library this week, although we're supposed to get another polar vortex and more snow, which is just, like, way too much. I don't know if I can handle more snow on top of everything else. it's too much snow. Just need to cut that out, I think, for a while. But we might get over to the library. I've got some wildly overdue library books that I need to get back. I'm a little ashamed, though, so I think I'm going to drive by, drop them off, and then maybe come back home and pay the fine online so it doesn't show up when I go to rent more books. Part of that was from research for a book that I'm writing that I wound up switching a bunch of stuff on and not needing those books, but we were gone at Disney World and all this stuff, so I didn't get over there and turn them in. So what are you going to do? But, you know, I feel bad, but at least they'll get a little bit of extra dough from me to help with the library, I guess. Plus, I got a bunch of stuff I want to donate, so maybe this weekend I can get over and do that. But you do not come to the Pop Hop and Napcast to listen to me talk about donating to the library, I bet. Although that is a great way to get rid of stuff, just putting that out there. One of her favorite books from the library that we picked up was The Cat in the Hat Comes Back. She loved the first one, and she loved a cookbook, Cat in the Hat cookbook that we picked up. I think I talked about that on another episode. So she's into him. Although, interestingly, that love doesn't really transfer to other Dr. Seuss books yet. Although, hopefully now that she's more into the idea of reading and likes her bookshelves, she'll want to check out more things. I read her a book last night called The Something Tadpole. Oh, no. I can't remember the name of it. I'll put it in the show notes. It's not coming to me. But it was this book that I remember getting from the library as a kid. And basically this little boy's like eccentric uncle sends him a tadpole for his birthday, but the tadpole winds up being related to the Loch Ness Monster, and it just gets bigger and bigger. And, you know, we saw this at a used bookstore like a year ago, and I picked it up, and she wasn't really interested, and I don't even know how interested she was in it last night, but she let me read it to her. And the art in it is just so cool. And this was before I was reading comics, but it's neat because it's a book that just has such a cool style to it. Got great coloring and all this stuff. And I can kind of see where some of my love of that kind of art came from, that I later on saw a lot more of thanks to comics. But that was fun. Also, I just remembered, like, while I was reading to her, I put this blue chair in her room, and I was trying to keep her in her bed, and I was sitting in that so that I could kind of, like, be level with her. She's got this, like, guard so she doesn't roll out, and that kind of got in the way. So it wasn't perfect, but it kind of worked out. But anyway, at one point, she crawled onto the blue chair and sat at the top of it, and I kind of laid down, and she kind of had my head in her lap, and she, like, gave me kisses on the forehead and the nose, so that was amazing. She's a really sweet kid when she wants to be, and then when she doesn't want to be, she's pretty loud. But I guess that's kind of what you want, right? She's actually been working on her withering glances, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of parents hate, but I kind of keep encouraging her to do them, because, you know, I talked about this several episodes back, but, you know, I want a girl who's strong, but polite when you need to be polite. But I don't want one that's just constantly, like, feeling the need to be polite, because that's kind of how I was, and it doesn't have anything to do with being a boy or a girl. But that's just how I was growing up, and I felt like, you know, and still to an extent, that, like, it's better to just not say something so that you don't offend somebody else. And, you know, that's not a terrible way to be. I mean, I haven't caused any great conflicts because I'm kind of a pacifist in that way. But at the same time, I'm sure I've backed down from some things that I didn't need to because of that. I mean, there's also a level of, like, I need to care about something to really get into it with somebody about it. And that can be a difficult threshold for certain things to surpass. But I want a girl, you know, a kid, forget gender. I just want a kid that's, like, strong and does what she thinks is right and all that stuff. And if she can do it with a smile, that's great. And if not, okay. It's not going to bum me out too much. So I guess that's going to bring us close to the end of the show. I did the pop-papa in the beginning of the episode. I actually also have a pop-papa seal of approval recipient. While I was getting everything organized and setting things up, I remembered that we had light switch extenders for kids so they can turn the lights on in various rooms. My wife got these, I think, online or somewhere. They're called Kid Switch My Style 3-Pack. And basically, it's a thing that you screw onto the faceplate of your light switch. The actual switch itself comes through a little hole. And then the hole is connected to a stick. And then the stick ends in a circle. And so the kid can pull down and push up, but, like, from 2 feet lower than the actual switch. And so I put one in the hallway, and I put one in her room, and I put one in the bathroom so that she can have a little bit more flexibility when she wants to go somewhere. Because for the past few months, especially as it's gotten darker at night, we'd say, oh, yeah, your toy's in your room. And then she would, like, look and go, it's pretty dark in here. And then she wouldn't want to go. And I get it. I mean, it's pretty dark in the back of the house. And her room has this, like, blackout curtain plus, you know, insulation and all this stuff. And so it is dark in there. She is not wrong. So we put these things in, you know, giving her a little bit more freedom, and she actually loved them. I put one up pretty soon after we got them, but she was still too short at that time. So this, it just made sense right now. I've also noticed that they glow in the dark, which is cool. And they came with, like, a bunch of different stickers to go on the circle part. And so she put them all up. There's three different ones that she used. And, of course, you could also put any sticker you want on there. You know, whatever the kid likes, you could put. But there are a variety, and I think she used several different ones. So she seems to be liking them. You'll be sitting in her room, and all of a sudden you'll hear, like, click, 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 because she's turning the lights on and off. But she's pretty good about turning them off when you ask her to. So, you know, hopefully that'll keep working. And it's a smart solution to a fairly simple problem. And for that, the Kid Switch gets the Pop-Papa seal of approval. All right, gang, I'm gonna wrap up. Got to get back to work, see what's going on, maybe get caught up on some photo diaries on poppapa.com, that's poppapa.com. That's where you can find this podcast if you want to listen to it online. You can also search for it on iTunes and just have it automatically downloaded to your iTunes or podcast app that way. And there will be show notes for this episode on there, including the link to the John Landis including a link to the Harold Ramis interview I mentioned earlier, and a few other things that I mentioned in the episode as they are relevant, if they are. If you want to read more about my pop culture thoughts and ideas, you can head on over to United Monkey, that's MONKEE.com. I was really bad about blogging last week because I was so busy, but you know, that's fine. I used to beat myself up about this stuff, but you know, I write those things for free, and I hope that people enjoy them, and I also use it as just a way to kind of catalog my thoughts on certain things that I'm probably not going to remember for a little while. So I do what I can. I've got a couple neat posts going on up there, and getting back to a couple regular columns and things like that, so that should be neat. And then I had done really well in Monkeying Around the Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, for a week after not doing anything all year and most of last fall and winter. And then last week, again, I was too busy to get on there. But I'm hoping to get back. I want to write about making pasta, which I've done several times and plan to do again this week, and a few other things. So hopefully I'll get at least two or three posts going up there. I might have a new podcast in the works. I'm waiting to see what's happening with that. Mainly my difficulty is finding a time when I can record with people who have regular jobs that don't allow them to just hop on a microphone at random times in the afternoon and record. Speaking of podcasts, and I'll have a link to this in the show notes, as I mentioned before, I was on Matt and Brett Love Comics again. This was the first time I was on with both hosts. And most of the time we talked about toys and action figures that we enjoyed growing up and the ones that we enjoy now and all that kind of stuff. There's a little bit more Toy Fair talk from the event this year, and also a story about how I almost decided to quit writing about comics before I even really got started. And of course, I am always on Twitter at Papadietsch. That's P-O-P-P-A-D-I-E-T-S-C-H. All right, gang. Have a good one.